is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. We'll start at verses 10 and read through verse 28. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is a challenging scripture. It's a difficult one. During Sunday school, I often, immediately following reading the scripture, I say, "What has jumped out to your mind in hearing the scripture? What is something that comes to your mind when you hear these words read?" One of the things that somebody first said right away is, "Jesus sounds kind of mean. Why was Jesus speaking to this woman this way?" So maybe you're feeling that way, and that's a very valid and real reason, a feeling to hear and to feel after hearing these words. Jesus doesn't speak kindly to this woman. Let's just cover it and look at it. First, she comes to Jesus and asks for help. "My daughter is tormented by a demon. Help us, Lord, son of David. Help us." And he ignores her. Just ignores her. Keeps on walking. It's a mean thing to do. That's bad enough. But the disciples come and say, "Please, you got to say something. Send her away. She keeps calling. She keeps knocking. She keeps hollering after us. Send her away." And he doubles down. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's not my problem." What's the old saying? "Not my circus, not my monkeys." She's not mine. I'm not here to help her. Finally, this woman persists. She kneels in front of him, gets down in the dirt on her hands and knees and says, "Help me. Lord, help me." And he triples down. That's more than a double down. He triples down. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Calls her a dog. I saw somebody put your heads down. It's a good response. Jesus calls this woman a dog, and her daughter as well. A dog. "The food that I bring is not for you people. It's for my children. And you don't get nothing." This is not a kind thing to say. So what's going on? How might we come up with a meaning to this scripture? That's a lot. That's heavy, deep things. That's not the smiling Jesus we've got on our walls at home. That's not a kind, loving Jesus. So what do we do with this? Well, like always, we go to our context. We read our scriptures and those passages around it. We did not start all the way at the beginning of chapter 15, and those first 9 verses were that story that I shared with the kids. The Pharisees and the scribes come to Jesus all the way out from Jerusalem, and they ask this testing question, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." This was a boundary-setting rule. I said to the kids, we're always going to wash our hands. We still got hand sanitizer when you need it. We want to be clean and hygienic. We know about germs these days. The Pharisees and the scribes did not. Washing your hands was a mark of purity. Now, all throughout this sermon today, when we talk about purity, when we talk about clean or unclean, cleanliness or uncleanliness, that is not a hygiene thing. It's not a dirty or a clean. That clean means to be worthy of being with God, being worthy of being in God's presence. And so if you were unclean, you were not worthy of being in God's presence. Washing your hands was a mark and something you did in order to be clean, to be worthy of being in God's presence. The disciples are apparently not doing that. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they are identifying that and marking that. You're not good enough. You're not in the in crowd. Now, it's also important to note that the Pharisees are kind of making this up. This is not a law that's biblical. It's not in Exodus or any of those Old Testament laws. The descendants of Aaron, the priests themselves who were in charge of going into the temple, yes, they were the ones that had to wash their hands. They were going into the very Holy of Holies where God lived. They needed to wash their hands. That was the law. These scribes and these Pharisees have broadened it out to a bigger group. If you're good enough to be with us, if you're good enough to be in God's inner circle, you also wash your hands before you eat. This is an arbitrary boundary that they've extended in order to have their own power, to note who is in and who is out. That boundary marking us versus them. Well, Jesus is super sassy. I recommend you go home and read these first 9 verses, because in response to this question, he says, well, why do you break the commandments of God? You've made up this rule about washing your hands, and yet the commandment from God to love and honor your father and mother, you break all the time. Because you say, whatever I would give you in support, any monetary money, give it to the church, and you'll be forgiven, not caring for your parents. You break all of these laws yourselves, and yet you come up with these boundaries and make these rules to exclude people. Finally, Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah and says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts and doctrines. In their hearts, they break my commandments. They come up with all of these rules to separate people out. And of course, the rules that they make always include themselves and always excludes others. Jesus says, that's not right. And then he gets into this parable that we read earlier. It's not what goes in your mouth. Washing your hands, honoring those food laws, that's not what makes you clean or unclean. That's not what defiles you before God. Because what you eat, it goes in your stomach and it comes out the sewer. But what comes out of your mouth is those things from your heart. That's what God looks at. Now, throughout these past few weeks, as we've read through Matthew, I've told you over and over that part of Matthew's community was a deeply Jewish community. Do you remember that? Remember me saying that? They would have known their scriptures more. And I think this might be a question that you can get. Name one of the kings of Israel from back in the day. Anybody say David? Who? Raise your hand if you said David. That's the one we're going with, so you can raise your hand, right? Do you remember when David was anointed? Eli came out to David's father, said, God has told me that one of your sons is going to be the next king. And David had, 12 brothers or something? And so the father brings out the firstborn, and he's the biggest, baddest son he's got. Look at how impressive my son is. This looks like a king, doesn't it? Eli says, no, that's not what God's looking for. And all the way down the line, all of these physically impressive sons that David's father brings out, and Eli says, no, that's not what God's looking for. And finally, he brings everybody out and says, well, that's all my sons. Eli says, no, you got one more, don't you? Well, the runt of the group, yeah, the little shepherd boy, David, he's out there somewhere. Go bring him. He's a little fella. God doesn't want him. He's not kingly. Picture king, it's not David. Eli comes before David and says, God sees your heart. This is who God wants as your king. And David is anointed the king of Israel. God looks at people's hearts. Matthew's community, Jesus' disciples would have known this story. Of course, it's our hearts that matter. It's not what is around us or surrounding us or what the outside look like. It is our hearts that God cares for. And our words are the windows to our hearts. What we say, we mean. That's what God cares for. And so then Jesus, I think, to solidify and to make this point, goes to this town. He leaves that place and goes to Tyre and Sidon. He goes to a Gentile, defiled, unclean place. And I think as I read this scripture, Jesus is going to make that point. I can be surrounded by this unclean countryside. I can be in the very place of uncleanliness, the very defiled place, and I am still God's son. I am still clean and worthy of God's presence. Let me go show you. It's like we're going to go have a picnic at the dump, and we're still going to be clean. That is what I think Jesus is doing when he travels to this place. But what Jesus does not expect is for this Canaanite woman to show up. Because she's a Canaanite woman. She's doubly marginalized. She's doubly unclean. She's had a double dose. First of all, she's a woman. Boo. We've gone over that, right? Jesus' time, women, her property. Not good. But she's also a Canaanite. The original bad guys. The people that Moses and Aaron had to fight off from the promised land. These is a group of people from the very beginning that have been in conflict with Jesus' people. She is a Canaanite and she is a woman. There is nothing that Jesus has for her. No part of her is clean and worthy of God. So this explains a little bit Jesus' reaction to her. He's not being mean. He's acting appropriately. She is outside of the group. She's dirty. Unclean, defiled. If Jesus is around her, he himself might be defiled. But that's the point he's trying to make. So he walks in to this place, but he ignores her because she's just a dirty, unclean, defiling thing. He's there to make a point that he can be in her vicinity and still be clean. But she has this heart full of faith. She sees Jesus and cries out, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. This is the password. Anytime throughout this gospel that Jesus has healed somebody, they have come up to him and said, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. Well, hold on. How does this woman, this Canaanite, this defiled, unclean thing know these words? Something surely is going on. But Jesus hasn't seen it yet. He still only sees her for what she is, a Canaanite woman. And on, Jesus has these reactions to her. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But again, her heart, filled with faith, challenges Jesus. Yes, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And in that point, in that moment, Jesus' ministry changes. Woman, great is your faith. I came to this place to make a point that you can be surrounded by defiled uncleanliness and still be faithful to God. You have shown me that our definitions of what is defiled and unclean do not matter, because your heart is clean. I think in that moment, Jesus recognizes that he has cast himself with these Pharisees, holding on to the boundaries that are created not by God, but by us as human beings. I think in that moment, Jesus recognizes that the labels of being a Canaanite woman that have overpowered Jesus' senses to describe and categorize her as unclean need to be burned away as well. And Jesus changes his heart. The daughter immediately is healed. And before the end of the chapter, Jesus feeds 4,000 Gentiles. His ministry expands into their world. No longer is his food only for the children of God, but for the entire world. And those 4,000 plus their own women and children are fed. Jesus encounters his own prejudices. He encounters those boundaries that have been given and placed on him. And he breaks through them, through this woman's faithful interactions with him. So what do? Here's the hard part. Are you ready? What prejudices do we have? What boundaries do we have? What lines have we drawn to separate us as the clean, honor worthy of God's people and them? Where are those lines that separate us from them? Who are those out there that aren't worthy of God's love? And how do we step beyond them? It is a natural thing, I think, to have our prejudices. We've evolved from monkeys out in the woods. It was important for us as people growing to recognize when things were different, because different has often meant bad and dangerous. This is something that has been bred into us. Different can harm. Different can hurt. Be weary of what is different. Distance yourself from what is distant. This is a natural thing that has helped us get this far. But too often, we get to places where different simply means, ew, I don't like it. I don't understand it. So it's bad. Those things come naturally, but Jesus challenges and expects us to question them, to look past them. Matthew tells the story of Jesus dealing with his own prejudices to remind us that we have to as well. It's easy for us to say, oh, I'm not racist. I'm not sexist. I'm not prejudiced. Matthew tells a story of Jesus dealing with those very things. Are you better than Jesus? Jesus dealt with it. Perhaps there's something that you have to as well. But Jesus doesn't do it alone. Jesus is in his community. He's surrounded by his disciples. He's surrounded by that woman who Jesus identifies as unclean. We're expected to go into those places, to interact with those we find different and unclean. We're expected to have conversations and talk with folks with open hearts, knowing that God will change our own hearts when they need to be changed. Jesus walks into this Canaanite woman's backyard and leaves a better person? Whose backyards do we need to walk into with open hearts to become better children of God as well? Amen.